Welcome to the Becoming Podcast. This is your special bonus Halloween astrological companion. Carly Lozdowski is here to give us her wisdom on why we need to care about astrology and what we need to know moving into the Halloween season here and really into Scorpio season. Apparently, as Carly tells me, Mercury is going retrograde on Halloween itself. And with that, the season of change also tends to bring up the season of shadow work. So if you are feeling a little bit of the grumpies or just a little bit down, there is some insight in here for you to gather. So listen up. I hope you enjoy this special astrological companion and this conversation. I think it was pretty fascinating. I feel like I'm starting to maybe understand astrology a little bit. Side note, had to use one track for my recording because Mercury, that little devil, made one of the tracks crackle the whole time. So apparently that is proof positive that shit's going sideways. I hope you enjoy this. Follow Carly on Instagram, Carly on the Daily. She's got a new website. I will post it in the notes. And as always, please share, subscribe, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen. I appreciate you. And also a welcome to you if you want to join the podcast community. It's called the Becoming Community. It's on Facebook, and hope to just grow some conversation outside of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and let's get going. Welcome, Carly. Welcome back to my favorite local astrologer. I don't know any other, so really, you're my favorite. So welcome.
Hello.
So we are doing a special Halloween episode. Insert scary music. There's a lot of things happening, and Carly and I were just discussing that Mercury is going into retrograde on Halloween, and I'm like, awesome. What the hell does that actually mean? Because people say it all the time, and I go, yeah, like I actually get it. So hi.
Hi. So is this where we talk about it?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Cool. So yeah, when you were asking what are some themes that are coming up for the seasons, it was too big of a coinkydink not to mention that Mercury is in fact going retrograde on Halloween. And so what we've kind of, the mainstream is taken over as one of the favorite things to talk about astrologically. Mercury is the messenger. He's the god of short-term travel, technology. Mercury's your mind, how you communicate, your thoughts. So what makes Mercury retrograde become such like a hot buzzword is essentially when he's going backwards, retrograde, it's revisiting, it's reviewing. It also is opportunity for things to get a little bit misconstrued. Mm. So if you're writing a message to your boss and you haven't hit edit yet, or maybe you're like, I think I'm ready to say this, and then something happens that the email gets sent, that's a Mercury retrograde moment.
Mm.
Or your car, which has, maybe there's been some slight problems, but nothing crazy. Your car breaks down seemingly out of nowhere. That's Mercury retrograde. Your TV, all of those like little pieces of technology that affect our ability to communicate or receive information are normally the things that go faulty. So you'll hear, I think one of like the last Mercury retrogrades, like Target had a big, like they weren't able to like take credit cards or something.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So stuff like that traditionally happens. So be conscious of it. But yes, in our own personal life, it can be a time of confusion, a time where we're encouraged not really to speak our mind, but to kind of sit with what's coming up, because unless you're 1,000% sure on what you want to say, you can say things and then, you know, hurt somebody's feelings, it's taken wrong, or maybe you communicated inappropriately. But really, whenever Mercury goes in retrograde, we're getting asked to revisit our thoughts, mm-hmm. our belief systems. What we still need to review. The retrogrades are all the re's. So
okay.
That would be a good summary of a retrograde in Mercury.
So why does that happen? What energetically is happening? That like, what does that mean from an energetic standpoint?
Yeah, so when you look at the sky, the planets are moving forward. And so when a retrograde happens, they appear to be going backwards in the sky. So it's, scientists will say that the planets never really go backwards. It's just our perception from the Earth.
Okay, so they look like they're moving the wrong way.
They look like they're moving the wrong way.
Okay.
So wherever the planet is, Mercury for this situation, is in the sky. It's slowing down right now. It's actually in its shadow period, and it goes exact and will go retrograde on October. So right now in the sky, Mercury's one of the smallest and fastest planets in our solar system. So he whips through signs pretty efficiently.
Okay.
So right now he's slowing down. He'll start to station and then go backwards. So for us on Earth, we'll start to feel that slowdown, that stationing in the shadow period, which is happening right now. And shadow period essentially means that the path that Mercury is going to go backwards on, it's in right now. So for instance, how that would come up in your life. For me personally, a lot of things that have been coming up have been around like work, and my relationships. And so during the shadow period, you're being asked to like acknowledge what's coming up, because that's going to be what you're working on through the retrograde.
Okay.
And the retrograde is going to force you to revisit and reevaluate some of those themes, whether they're happy or sad or whatever,
yeah,
you know, neutral in your life, so that you can redirect when it goes straight.
Redirect meaning decide where you want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do with this information and
mm-hmm.
this, what's been illuminated in the shadow?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So we care about Mercury in retrograde because shit hits the fan.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'd like to insert this little fun fact.
Yeah.
So as an astrologer, everybody has a natal chart, and actually 18% of the population has Mercury in retrograde natally.
Okay.
So what that could mean for somebody with Mercury in retrograde natally is like maybe they do get tongue-tied. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they're not great public speakers. Maybe they've had a fear around being vulnerable or freely expressing themselves. So actually when Mercury goes into retrograde, they feel better.
Ah.
So I've had a variety of, actually astrologers will say that my business booms during Mercury retrograde because people are like, what the fuck's wrong with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is true for everybody except really those 18% of
okay.
people. And like IT guys, you know, if stuff's going down, hey, my business is booming. So
sure.
there are the different segments of the world that actually benefit during Mercury retrograde.
Okay. Now Mercury stands for what? Like what is the energy around the planet?
Mercury is your communicator. So
okay.
it's mind, mouth, communication, writing. That's why I talk about emails.
Mm-hmm.
Cars, because it is short-term travel.
Mm.
Technologies, computers, stuff like that.
Okay,
so
somebody who's dominated by Mercury energy.
Journalist.
Okay, somebody who's a communicator.
Guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any mom.
Yeah. Now, how long does retrograde last, typically? Is it the same time period always?
I don't want to say yes or no to that. It could be a couple days difference, but this one specifically goes from Halloween, so 10/31, to November 20th, I believe.
Okay.
So that's when it will, November 20th, that's when it will go straight station to go direct again.
Okay. Okay, so what should we do about all this? Like, so tell us what your advice is on Mercury in retrograde. What are we looking out for? And how do you, what do you recommend people do if they start to notice things that need attention?
Totally. So this time of year is Scorpio season. So all of the things that are not by chance are very Scorpio. So this time of year is about death, dying, and rebirth. The veil is thin, and I'm air quoting that. And
mm-hmm.
by the veil is thin, essentially, is Scorpio is a water sign. So intuitive abilities pop off, you know, Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of different religions and cultures, Day of the Dead. So like honoring those that have went before us. Scorpio is also known as the sign of darkness. It's shadow. It's like I already mentioned, death, dying, rebirth. It's taboo. A lot of the, themes of Scorpio is dark. So it can be like bankruptcy, other people's money, hidden desires, hidden sexual desires. So you can kind of see some of those deeper, darker themes. For this specific Mercury in retrograde, what all of that means combined is this is going to be a heavy one.
Mm-hmm.
If you were, let's say, trigger alert, sexually assaulted, some of those memories could be coming up. If you have been potentially embezzling money or doing something dirty with your money, that's a real good time for it to come up and not by your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio has a tendency to hand you the truth or show you the secrets, whether you're ready for them or not. It's the fixed sign of the fall. So the leaves are falling, you know, it's a time to go inward. So this Mercury retrograde is going to be I don't even know if I said this, but Mercury's in Scorpio.
Yeah, I don't think you said that. Right, right.
So with Scorpio season and Mercury going retrograde in Scorpio, that's where a lot of our mind, our thoughts, our opportunities are going to be around revisiting some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am an astrologer, but I also love to include my tarot cards in my practice just because tarot is immediately, each card has an astrological meaning, so it normally points us right to where we're at. But the lead card for this Mercury in retrograde is death. It's the death card,
mm-hmm.
which is very fitting. And so the death card never shows up traditionally. I don't want to say never because that's a heavy word, but it's not normally a literal death. It's a figurative death. So this is going to be a time of people acknowledging some serious things, whether it is finances, where it is maybe a partner's transgressions, whether it is simply an ego death. Scorpio is a shedding of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
I always see Scorpio as like a snake. Maybe it's because of the god of the underworld thing that rules Scorpio, or maybe just because I always think of a snake as he's really at the ground level, you know, and snakes have those opportunities to shed their skin. And that's really what Scorpio is all about. It's the phoenix rising from the ashes energy. So you can either stay in your skin that's too small, which is ultimately going to kill you,
mm-hmm.
or you take this opportunity to say, this no longer serves me, take it off. And yes, you're going to feel vulnerable for a little week because your skin's off and you're a new little baby.
Yeah, you're raw. Right.
Yeah, you're raw, but that's only going to allow you to step into that new role.
Right. So if we tend to, because I can hear people being like, oh shit, this all sounds terrible, right? Like
yeah.
it's the darkness, it's the bad stuff. And that's really a theme I think that's happening right now anyway,
mm-hmm.
whether it's this era and maybe for a long time, but certainly the political system currently and globally, we're seeing a lot of that darkness. And I think people if you have the tendency to see that as a bad thing or have hangups on that, we can tend to spiral downward and really feel like we're all doomed and everything's terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to see the other side of it is that this is just simply an opportunity to illuminate what isn't serving. And then once Mercury is out, you said, like, basically get your life on track, right? Point yourself in the right direction so that as we get to November 20th, we are ready to leave behind whatever needed to be illuminated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And embody it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And take charge. To me, I'm hearing, like, reclaim your power, right?
Totally.
Right. So these things that needed to be illuminated so that we can reclaim ourselves and our power and our light.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we're both students of the universe here, you know?
Yeah.
So there's never an opportunity that's intended to hurt us.
Right.
It might feel like it's hurting us, but really it's just an opportunity to see things for what they are,
mm-hmm.
and then do what we choose with that information.
Right.
You brought up a couple really good things just in your short riff there, but talking about the times, it's actually a very Plutonian time. Pluto is ruled by Scorpio. Scorpio rules Pluto. They are in and of the same.
Okay.
And there's this crazy conjunction. I'm pretty sure I've talked about it every time I've been on here, maybe briefly, but Saturn, which is our boundaries, rules, restrictions, hard work.
Okay.
Planet is conjunct, which means sitting next to Pluto, which is our death, dying, rebirth, ruler of Scorpio, all
mm.
of the themes that I just said. And they've been sitting next to each other. They're going exact, actually, in January of 2020. So everybody has called 2019 the lead up to this exact point where they're getting married.
Okay.
Is my favorite astrologer.
I just got chills, but what does that mean?
That means that in my belief system, like I've already mentioned, Scorpio is the foundation, right? It's the house, it's the foundation, it's the concrete. Saturn's the house. Everybody's got cracks in their foundation. Everyone. Now is the time that you acknowledge the cracks, potentially repair it, if you choose. So that encourages you or requires you to get down and dirty, right? Your knees are in the ground, you're in your crawl space,
mm-hmm.
you're in your shitty clothes, you do not look cute.
Right.
And you could potentially save your house. If you're not willing to do that work and you keep, like, tacking on maybe a different pretty picture inside your house, or maybe you, like, added curtains, and you're like, that feels better.
Yeah.
That's not supporting your actual house, mm-hmm. Saturn. So the shit's going to come crumbling down. So whether you choose to acknowledge what's being fed to you, and I know everyone's been fed stuff this year.
Yeah.
2019
you
has
mean
been
hard
a,
stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
It has been a year of illumination from our government
yeah.
to our own personal lives.
Yeah.
Whether in partnership or singledom.
Yeah.
So yes, it's very Plutonian times right now. So yes, this Mercury retrograde is just, it is, again, the revisiting. So when you look at a natal chart, wherever Pluto's at, you're going to immediately look at Scorpio because they're kind of, they're linked, right?
Okay.
So
always,
yes.
forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's rulers. Every planet, every sign has rulership and
okay.
a house system.
Okay.
You know, we could talk about that another time.
Maybe. I'm just trying to even sort of try to understand it. Okay.
So anyway.
I'm still back at conjunction in January, so we're going to have to revisit that. But, okay, so you're saying that Saturn is the house that's built on the foundation of Scorpio.
Yeah.
Okay, and Scorpio is death and dying and the rebirth of the snake and the underground and looking at the deep levels of information and insight we need to gain,
mm-hmm.
the shadow stuff, the things we assume are dark but aren't inherently dark, but we call them dark and
mm-hmm.
we assume they're dark
mm-hmm.
because they feel like the taboo pieces of ourselves or the unlovable pieces of ourselves.
Yes, girl.
Okay.
Yes.
So if we don't examine that those faulty belief systems I'm hearing and lack of worthiness and all of those things that kind of, that a lot of us, I think root chakra, right? Like we have inherent unworthiness in that. If we have that as our foundation and we don't examine that and put light on the faulty beliefs there, and we try to pretty our house up by painting the house a new color, but don't actually address the foundation, the pretty pink house will still crumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
you
the
said
pretty,
that really well. That was
good.
Really great.
So the pretty pink house is Saturn, and Saturn again is boundaries and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about that.
Oh, well, anybody that's past 30 remembers 29.
Yeah.
And 29 is your Saturn return.
Okay.
And so 29, if those of us that are past 29 here, you can probably remember it. You might have stepped into a role as a mom for the first time. You might have gotten married. You might have gotten married to the wrong person and was quickly divorced by like 33. Saturn's when you shake out your careers. Maybe you were doing something that you thought you wanted to do or somebody else told you they wanted you to do, and then it seemed around like 28, 29 that like the struggle was real, like you weren't making enough money, you weren't happy,
mm-hmm.
and then you like lost that job, and the job that you lost was like your identity, but you secretly really hated it, and then after you lost the job, it actually forced you to like get into your pursuit of real happiness.
Okay.
So that's like very like Saturn. So it's taking on the responsibility, it's doing the hard work, and it's also Saturn's that He'll strip you down. He'll take it away. If you're not...
If it's not serving you, it doesn't make sense for you, it wasn't you. If it's inauthentic.
Yep, it's
okay.
Done. Yep. So, but Saturn is, he's the ruler of Capricorn. Capricorn's hard work. All these Capricorns out there are like, oh, yeah, that feels right. You know,
mm-hmm.
they can work, 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 work. Workaholics.
Okay.
They're A plus B equals C. They're not Scorpio.
Okay.
They're not like intuition. It is facts.
Okay, so this is where we were talking about a couple times ago, that like the death and dying of the way and the working system that was in place and has been in place for a long time, and that's no longer working for the world,
yeah.
right? And that, so the death and dying to this hard work in some ways is in this structure of work, 40-year job, 40 hours a week before you retire, and
mm-hmm.
things like that, right? Is this, am I remembering that right, that we were
yeah.
talking about this? Okay, so, because I'm looking at Pluto and Saturn, and I wrote down death and dying with Pluto, and Saturn is boundaries and hard work. So if they're coming into conjunction, that means we're going to examine what around hard work and boundaries needs to die,
mm-hmm.
and what then happens next, what's born into that. What does that do? It's the shifting, the shakeup. Is this the same question or the same conversation around rebalancing the masculine and feminine energies in the working world too?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. I mean, I do have this chart pulled for Detroit, but it doesn't, you know, all this energy applies to everyone, but just taking it to our local area, like this Saturn Pluto feels very, you know, union worker strike-ish.
Yeah.
Or like the longest strike ever.
Right. Right.
That's happening right now. And yeah, it's a power to the people, but it's also like all these shadows and secrets that from the GM top to the union top,
yeah.
like didn't a guy for, and I mean, for
yeah,
those of you that
again.
Are like in it, I apologize for not being,
sensitive.
You know, well-versed enough
oh,
to
yeah.
really be speaking on this. But yeah, like the main union guy was embezzling money or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very Saturn Pluto,
yeah.
you know? And also, you know, GM's going to cut $6 billion worth of stuff, and I'm air quoting that, in 6 weeks.
Right.
We got to make it look good for our stockholders, correct? I think that was, which feels very Saturn-Pluto, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have to, because Saturn rules hard work, corporations, CEOs, and Pluto's money, other people's money, embezzlement, bankruptcy, not giving enough money, taking too much money. So that would be a very, like, literal example of this coming up. Is it cool? No. Does this suck for the people that are striking? Absolutely. I'm sure the GM people would say it sucks for them too, you know? But this is kind of that shift that it's shaking it out. You're going to see who's been doing the wrong, dirty deeds. And you're also going to see, you know, is this union still relevant in this day and age? And how do we make it work for all the parties?
Yeah. I just thought about the fact that we're in an impeachment proceedings right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got chills when you were talking about all of that. And then I got chills when I thought of the impeachment. So to me, that's all like just saying that this is alignment.
It's essential.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it
It's
fun
a rebalancing.
Yeah.
But it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's not fuzzy.
Yeah.
Literally, Saturn is a suit. He's his power suit, you know? He's got the
red
blazer.
Tie. Yeah.
Big stern jaw.
Yeah.
And Pluto's like, yeah, the Reaper of Death, man. So, I mean, it's not, there's no warm and fuzzy, but
how often does something like this happen, this Pluto and Saturn thing?
This has never happened in our lifetimes.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so
these all go through cycles, but it's this is not like this has happened before.
Actually, we're, so our United States of America is coming up on their Pluto return, which has never happened ever, because Pluto's cycle is like 263 years or something like that.
Okay.
So we're going to see all of the sludge come up.
Okay.
And actually, a lot of astrologers are like, what's this going to look like? Because we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is, like, this is going to be a big deal for astrological history books, you know, to see what this Pluto return will actually look like. But
and when
yeah,
is that happening?
I don't know the exact date. I'll have to.
That's okay. But in the next year?
Years, a couple years.
A couple years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But because Pluto is a slow-moving planet,
sure,
it ramps up. Ramps up. Just kind of like this Saturn-Pluto has been a whole year vibe.
Yeah.
Because they're outer planets. Like, Mercury's a fast one.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this retrograde happens so many times a year, I think like seven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for, you know, 21-odd days.
Okay.
Because it zips around.
Got it. Got it.
The
got
sun
it,
fast.
It. Right.
Yeah. So these outer planets have the impact on eras, generations, vibes. It could change our entire governmental system.
Yeah.
Which is scary, Pluto, but at the same time, rebirth, which will put us in alignment with to support our
future generations.
Yeah.
And the way that the rebalancing that clearly needs to happen.
Totally.
I think for all of us, we can see that. But anytime something is getting broken down and rebuilt, it's scary.
Yeah. And I'd like to channel this back into my Halloween chart. That's how I have it in my software, the Halloween chart of Mercury retrograde. So you can, I don't know how many people would agree with me or disagree with me, don't really care, but you can take a chart and it's like a snapshot.
Right.
So what I like to do is for this Mercury retrograde, I pulled the moment when it goes into retrograde, and I like to just observe and sit with the chart and see like what the aspects are and what the vibe is and kind of like know a conscious overview of the energy. And so where we've talked a lot about scary, right?
Yeah.
Mercury, as it sets to go into retrograde, is actually conjunct, so sitting right on top of our planet of love, Venus.
Mm.
And so when I see that, astrology is all about aspects and points and degrees and literals, and but there's also a figurative, and there's also a, I think, like a blatant message in that.
Okay.
That even though this can get rocky or rough, you're sitting with your planet of love.
Yeah.
And what do you value? And your ethics and your morals. And what do you want? So, and Venus is our female in the sky. And so she's saying like, hey, I got your back, you know?
Yeah. So let me just make sure I heard you right. So you're saying that this Mercury in retrograde in Scorpio, because it's Scorpio season, is sitting conjunct with Venus.
The day of the retrograde, it goes
conjunct
with, right with Venus.
Okay. Okay. So that means like they're near each other in the
sky. They're sitting, yeah. So every planet has a degree. So Mercury is at 27 degrees and Venus is at 28 degrees. So they're almost at the exact same point in the sky.
Got it. And so when that happens, then they're playing off of each other.
Mm-hmm. So the energies are heightened.
Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense because Scorpio, death and dying and all of that. But that's also, I haven't posted the conversation yet, but I just re-interviewed Lori Lipton, and that'll be in about 2 weeks that her episode will go live. But we were talking about this idea around pain and suffering and that, like, why we have obstacles and challenges in our lives. And this is just my constant question to people, like, what is your perspective on that? And she said that ultimately her belief is that all of these challenges, these death and dying, this rebuilding, this examining the shadow, whatever you want to call it, all of it is an opportunity to return back to love.
Mm-hmm.
That can you take all of this hard stuff, this scary stuff, this these shakeups, this looking at your darkness and shadow, and can you, even in the midst of that, return back to a state or the vibration of love, not the feeling of love, but the high vibe of love. And that, what you're saying right there, I'm like, oh, that's exactly what we were just talking about, right? The shadow work and bringing all of this to light is an opportunity still just to return back to that space of love, compassion, witnessing, you know, what's in this for me and how do I keep moving myself into deeper alignment with my values?
Totally.
It's fascinating that it all layers up, you know, always.
Always.
Yeah.
And I can't really, I think you said it beautifully, but what I can say is flipping back over to my tarot cards really quick. I always pull one prominent card and then I get some supporting cards. And one of the supporting cards is the Page of Cups. And it's all about like feeling into your emotions, being curious, observing it, you know, like living in possibility around what could be coming up. With the Scorpio Mercury retrograde, a lot of people are going to struggle because they don't want to go there. And it's a legitimate resistance to what's coming up. Like I said, this could trigger some deep stuff that you've worked really hard on repressing.
Yeah.
Scorpio is the king of repression.
Yeah. Okay.
So some of this stuff, you like, I never want to talk about this, mean less explore it, you know, but once we start to explore and acknowledge it, then we can see where the triggers are at. Then we can actually get to the place of healing. That's where we can repair our cracks in the foundation.
Yeah, I just had this conversation today with my beloved wife around wounding and all of that. And like, you know, when you're trying to be a person who's growing spiritually and then, you know, people close to you who may or may not have created half of those wounds trigger you. Which is all of us. We all go, I mean, I've talked to 5 different friends in the last 3 days about this exact thing, right? That people close to you who know you intimately trigger you and you're trying to be somebody who's evolving and you get pulled right back down in your shit, right? And that is just the opportunity to go, okay, so you think you're working on this. Let's see how willing you are to really be with this.
So what you just said is actually astrology in motion.
Okay.
So you know how I said the Mercury is in its shadow right now.
Yeah.
So all of these themes, you just said 5 different people brought this up. It's a theme, man.
Yep.
So you can ignore it.
Yep.
Like some people are going to be like, no, I had a really relaxing Mercury retrograde. And you're like, cool. It's really awesome. It'll come back.
Yeah.
In a couple months, you'll be January.
Yeah. Try again.
Have fun, January.
Right.
But yeah, so that's a legitimate theme.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the... And that's going to show up for a lot of people that are in the work. Because when you're in the work around self, enlightenment.
Awakening.
I'm air quoting it. But when you're in the work, the spiritual, the becoming process is not beautiful.
No.
It is full of people that are the red flag. It's full of people that are intentionally here to trigger you so you can go deeper. So you can actually get to the source of the problem. It's those people that are like, oh no, I'm in an awakening, and it's like, ooh.
I don't believe them.
It's going to get real.
Yeah. Or it's the other people who are like, I don't have any problems. Let's not talk about this. Shove, 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 you know? And that's it, too. I think that's a lot of the challenge is that you're in this, like those of us who are listening to this kind of thing and in the work, so to speak, and then, you know, you're confronted by all these other people who are clearly, no matter how much the veil is thinning, they are still not seeing through any of the duality or the dream state of living, right? They have no ability or willingness to go there. And so they're just going to shut you down back to whatever paradigms or beliefs they're having because they're not ready.
Right.
And that doesn't, and that's really, I think that's sometimes the hardest part. You're like, listen, dude, I'm doing all this work and I'm trying to like unpack this. And here you are just totally ignoring me. You know, I'm trying to do better and you're just shutting me down, you know, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And that's when the universe would say, it's not about them, is it?
No, totally. And that's my advice about
them. So you're going to continue to unpack whether they're saying good job or not.
Yes. Or I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or you're right.
Good luck if you're right or I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. Not going to happen.
No.
Not going to happen.
And actually, interestingly enough, too, and you said the word wounding.
Mm-hmm.
So Chiron, our wounded healer up in the sky, is our rainbow bridge. The reason that Pluto became a dwarf planet, they found Chiron.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this little rainbow bridge, and what does that mean? It's essentially the bringing you the spiritual realms, your spiritual belief systems, the healing from the universe into the earth plane. So that's like the rainbow. It's in a beautiful trine with Mercury. So where we are stepping into this, and trine is a really positive relationship, so it's like a good energetic conversation between the planets. So where Mercury is about to embark in its retrograde, you know, through Scorpio, it's sitting right with Venus, our planet of love, and it's also in this beautiful, like, encouraging energy from Chiron that's saying, go down this journey so you can heal those wounds.
It will be worth it.
Yes, it'll be worth it. And where Chiron, if it's ill-aspected, it can be repression, sadness, fear. Like, Chiron will show up in a chart, and I can, 9 times out of 10, be like, let's say it's in the 11th house of large groups, and Chiron's there, I'm like, oh, so you have a real fear of public speaking and, like, being in charge and the leader, and people will be like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not normally like much more than that. Like, yep, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So where Chiron is placed, it can feel, and okay, universe, again, funny, I just noticed this. Chiron's actually in the 3rd house of Mercury.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So like where there is fear, so
okay.
Let's just take Chiron for where it's at in the natal wheel right now. It is in Mercury's home base of communication.
Okay.
Voicing your thoughts. Your belief systems, how you communicate, what you have to say to people, how you say it to people.
Okay.
So
it's inviting you on the rainbow bridge
mm-hmm.
to do some healing around the places that doesn't feel
mm-hmm.
accessible.
Yep. And so, again, I'm going to stress it. Mercury retrograde, even though Chiron's sitting in that 3rd house of what to heal up, Chiron normally is not telling you to say it out loud. It'll be an opportunity where to heal. Let me rephrase that. It's not necessarily a place that's going to feel good to talk about.
Okay.
If that makes sense. But it is a place to heal up. So if that is, it goes actually right into the cards too, is all these cards are really around reestablishing a sense of self, your personal truth, standing tall in who you are.
Yeah.
And whenever I see the death card reverse, I always think ego death. So take these next from October 31st, to November 20th, we have a full moon in there. Really take this time to release and reevaluate and reassess and write down what's coming up. And it doesn't have to be beautiful prompts. Sometimes I just take like a little notebook with me, and if things pop up, I just write it out quick to release it. So take these next like 3 weeks or whatever to dig in. And then after Mercury goes direct, if say it is, you know, a mom or a sister or a wife or a brother, then you're confident enough to address the situation.
Okay, so allow it to rise up in a intimate space of self to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then once November 20th passes, it's more appropriate to gracefully as you can bring those issues to light
mm-hmm.
within relationships.
Yeah, because this energy is very self. Based. It's
mm-hmm.
it's about you. So exactly what we were talking about earlier. This is the time to actually acknowledge your projections. You know, my husband he's not in support of me going to be a yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Who the beep cares? If
right.
you, after these, November 20th, you're like, no, I really need to be a yoga teacher. Hopefully, after these 3 weeks of assessing, you'll no longer be mad at his resistance. You'll just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any feelings associated with it. You're just more confident in your own journey. It's
okay.
not about him.
Got it. If you work through the energy that's around it during retrograde.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Scorpio is intuition.
Okay.
It's the oculate. It's metaphysical.
Okay.
The Page of Cups is...
Isn't it interesting that darkness is related to intuition? Is that just like old world thought? Like why... Or do we just assume oculence is negative? Like, why does that go together? We talk about Scorpio being dark and then you're throwing intuition into the mix?
I think every energy has a high and a low vibe. So we can repress, be afraid, be fearful.
Okay.
You know, dark night of the moon stuff where you're like, I don't have any clear direction.
Yeah.
Or we can take that opportunity in the darkness to just be quiet and listen to what we're actually being told. And that's our intuition. And that's our leading voice.
Right. So stillness and darkness isn't inherently bad. We just put all of that on it. Right. But some of the words we were talking about, you know, like taboo and all of that, but that's shifting. So what was taboo is becoming less so even.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, totally. And how many people, there's a fear of the dark.
Totally.
You know, because I might actually have to, like we're just riffing on, is, you know, the awakening process. It's not pretty. You normally are in your moments of your...
The darkest.
The darkest, that you get that tap from whatever energy source you believe controls this whole thing.
Right.
And that's normally when you get led out of the darkness into the light. But sometimes, for different people, you got to go to weird levels of lows to get into that, like, okay, I surrender, you know? I don't know everything. Death reverse card, ego death. Saturn is actually the ego.
Right.
So, like, I've let my ego, I've let my mom, I've let my dad, I've let society, I've let everybody dictate my direction. Am I going to continue to go there? I feel like literal shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, changing the script.
Yeah, that's helpful to see Saturn as the ego. That totally makes sense to me. And so that ego death of Saturn is letting go of the outside world's perspective to dictate your life and decide from an internal perspective.
Totally.
Okay. I'm learning so much, Carly.
I'm trying.
No, it's good. It's just that there's so much... There's so much that, like, there's so much information in the world of astrology, I think, for people who don't want to dive all the way in but still want some of it. It's so much to absorb. And for me, as a natural researcher, I'm like, well, if I don't totally understand it, then it's useless to me, you know, which has been my method so far. So I'm trying, I'm writing lots of notes to try to understand what it all means and why I should care. And it's interesting because I would love to hear your perspective, but I've heard from people who are in other sort of areas of intuition and that sort of divinity work or tapped into source or whatever, that like they just, that it's like chicken or egg, you know, is astrology just a map for what's happening in the world? Is it just a reflection of what's happening so that we can find some guidance, or does the, do the actual planets and stars create it? And I think it's an interesting place to be in. I mean, I don't think it actually matters, but I think it's really interesting. Like, is what's happening then being reflected by the planets, or is the, are the planets really creating this kind of experience, you know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? I think the planets force us to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, I think the energies of our solar system encourage us to get big, you know, like, and big as in, like, more conscious, awakened, woke.
Yeah.
Cognizant of, like, what's real and what's false.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can we go back one second? Because I almost asked you earlier, I was like, wait, Pluto is the planet that's dictating something. And like, didn't we decide Pluto isn't a planet anymore? Right. Or like whatever, like what Rosie's got some song that we listened to from the internet about planets in the solar system anyway. And it was like talking about the dwarf,
a dwarf planet.
Yeah. Okay. So they discovered Chiron.
Yeah.
And that's, so Chiron did not exist in astrology until they discovered it.
Well, she was like an asteroid.
Okay.
I don't know all the history around it.
Right, let's do one on that one time, what Chiron means and that whole breakdown.
Yeah, Chiron's your midlife crisis.
Okay.
Your natal Chiron return happens at 50, so you'll see a lot of
So
people.
29 is the first one. 29 is what?
Saturn return.
Oh, Saturn return is at 29. Mm-hmm. And 50 is Chiron return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so Chiron is, like you said, wounding, inner child trauma, traditionally.
Okay. Yeah.
And so 50 is normally when you see women lose a lot of weight, or, you know, men step into a new relationship, or, you know, marriages becoming undone, whatever. And normally you'll see a lot, you'll hear a lot of people be like, she's acting like she's 14 again. Or,
yeah.
And you're like, well, what happened when she was 14? She might actually be 14 again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's really the, like, revisiting of that trauma. If you're in the work, it's not going to be so
upsetting to
upsetting.
Your life.
If you've been in a state of resistance, repression, denial, it's so heightened and you're getting so many things hit at you that you don't, you can't even play by the rules anymore. You're like, ah,
yeah,
step up and out. I gotta get gone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Interesting. All right. So what else? What's our last, like, what should we be doing? You know, you usually like to give us an assignment to do or the moons, but what's the assignment?
For Scorpio, it is a water sign. So which water means emotions. So a lot of emotions could be coming up and out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. I know just in the past, like, 6 months for myself and, like, really trying to be more vulnerable and conscious of my emotions, like, I randomly cry.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, a huge crier. And so I'll find myself, like, trying to cry and it's, like, awkward. And I'm, like, like, making fun of myself trying to cry. It's weird.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you need to cry, cry.
Okay.
This is not a time for push. So if you are, like, trying to, like, I don't know, get something done for work or start a new project or, you know, you and your husband have been struggling for 5 years. Like, this isn't really the time to, like, go in on that.
Mm.
This is the time to just kind of sit back.
Surrender.
Relax. There's a lot of new ideas and thoughts, and you got, like, a big, like, little baby thought bubble blooming right now, right?
Okay.
And so this is the time for you to really just take a nap if you need to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Lay down if you need to. Don't schedule your Sunday every Sunday. You
mm-hmm.
know, like, give yourself a day of rest. Carry around that little notebook so that you have someplace. Because during Mercury retrograde, even your bestest friend might not get it.
Right.
There is that opportunity for messages to get misconstrued.
Yeah.
So you might be like, have your little venting buddy, and your venting buddy's going through something, and what you're saying is triggering her, and then you think you're venting, and now she's getting up to,
Yeah.
You know? So this is really a time of just you doing your own work. You don't have to proclaim what you're doing. You can just be doing it. The full moon is November 12th, I believe, and it's in Taurus, and the full moons are all about release. So I encourage you strongly to find space around November 12th to just vibe it out. And Scorpio is what I desire. It actually means I desire. Each sign has a different, you know, Aries is I am, Taurus is I want, Scorpio is I desire. So this isn't a time to play small. If
mm-hmm.
something's been holding you back for a long time, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scorpio is a time of molting, of release. So if you have the means to go see a therapist, go see a therapist. I know for a really long time, I thought it was seasonal depression, and it really was just Scorpio season.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel sad. You can feel tired. You can feel disconnected. So instead of projecting your wants and desires onto others, just really take it inwards for these next couple days and reflect and have faith that the universe is in support of this, and it's actually for your highest self and your ultimate healing. It's not like you're being condemned or brutalized. It's
yeah.
just...
You're not the victim.
It's just a process to become, ultimately.
So Taurus is in... Taurus, full moon Taurus. What does that mean?
So the full moon in Taurus, and let me get sure of the actual date here. It is the time of the seasons. It's a fixed sign. So Scorpio is the fixed sign of fall, and Taurus is the fixed sign of spring. So it's kind of... It's the... opposition of the sun and moon.
Okay.
So your subconscious and your conscious are kind of in a push-pull. And
mm-hmm.
that's why people get a little wackadoo on full moons, because the energy's at the climax of the month.
Okay.
So this full moon is all going to be around releasing what you want and what you truly desire. These two also rule money. So a lot of people can get twisted around I want and I desire monetarily, and they're only looking at it from, like, well, I want a really nice car,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they can get twisted around that. So really this full moon is like, what is stopping you from releasing these things so that you can get to the next place or ultimately achieve what you really want and what you really desire? So relationships with money, relationships with your self-esteem and your self-worth, how you really feel about yourself versus how you want other people to view you.
Mm.
Those are
all around Taurus and Scorpio
mm-hmm.
together, because the moon reflects both.
Yep. So when it's a full moon, it's going to be in opposition. The sun and moon are going to be in opposition of each other. And the sun is your ego, your sense of self. your conscious.
Okay.
And the moon is your subconscious, intuition, soul.
Okay.
So it's a...
Right. I was just trying to figure out how the Taurus related to those things.
So Taurus is the opposing sign of Scorpio.
Okay.
So it's a wheel.
Oh, so
right?
It's... So the not only is the moon and the sun in...
So your sun's going to be in Scorpio and your moon's going to be in Taurus. Exact opposition.
Okay. And the moon is intuitive and it's I want... Because of Taurus?
So, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the sun is desire.
Mm-hmm. Scorpio.
And the sun is what? Not intuition. Ego. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, so ego, desire.
Mm-hmm. And so this full moon is also going to be the light at the end of the tunnel for this season. So
okay.
it's the Taurus is springtime.
Okay.
Scorpio is... fall in the middle of the death phase, you know, where everything goes into hibernation. So know that the 12th of November is going to be, it's going to be a big energetic day, but it's really going to be like, it's going to bring clarity around some of the themes that have been coming up this Scorpio season to like really get you into what do you want?
What
are you ready
to step into? So here's the shadow and here is the opportunity to release the shadow. And then that last week before we get out of Mercury retrograde, you're setting yourself up to point towards what it is that you are ready to shift towards, rebalance.
And know that this Mercury retrograde, you probably will find out some things.
That you don't want to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it might be an initial gut punch, but it's going to be for the best. It's going to be for the best. Like, sitting and being, you know, unconscious of a big secret doesn't feel good. So, it might hurt when you hear it, but, like...
Right.
I know my husband just lost his job. That was kind of wild.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like...
Right.
But they gave him 3 months severance, and... It's seeming like everything's kind of shaking out. And so I'm actually sincerely grateful for my relationship with the universe, because I know a handful of years ago, this would have been...
Way different.
Oh, devastation.
Mm-hmm.
Depression. Scared. You need to go find a job.
Right.
You know,
scarcity.
Like, crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, man, I know a lot of people I've already had some conversations with family, and they're like, well, what is he doing? What is he doing? And I'm like, oh, he's vibing it out. We're vibing.
Sure, and they love that response.
And it's like, well, you know, what about your insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Which feels very Saturn, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, we will find insurance. It will all come together in time.
Yeah.
And that's where I really encourage everybody to try to be curious, that Page of Cups, and the observer of it, and then not the victim. Try not to... Experience your emotions without feeling victimized by your emotions.
Yes.
And then have faith and trust that it's actually for the best and highest good. And then have the opportunity to explore and see what they unfold for you. I know one of my personal practices is every day I wake up and I'm like, and it's literally an everyday, like, ooh, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
And it could be something weird where I see like 11:11,
yeah.
you know, both times of day. Or... that person that I've been thinking about sends me a weird text message, or, you know, it's like that can be just as big of a gift as like getting handed a potentially new, amazing job.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Be in possibility.
You like to say that, don't you? I love that. But it is, I mean, that is the shift to me, in feeling like, not like the world is about to get me, but shifting into that faithful perspective that there is, that I can't see the end game, but that I have faith and trust that if I just keep kind of getting my house in order, to use an astrological phrase, that that if I'm getting my houses in order, then all really is to the greatest benefit of my own growth and expansion and the ways that I can offer back to the world.
Totally.
Cool. Anything else we need to say? Happy Mercury in retrograde. Good luck.
Yeah. Best of luck to you.
No.
No. All's good in the hood.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Choose to see the good in the darkness.
I do have one. On Halloween.
Yeah.
Sun is opposing Uranus, and Uranus is the crazy man, and Sun is like, you know, our biggest shining light in our solar system.
Yeah.
So everybody just be careful.
Okay.
Like, Uranus is just sudden changes and wild.
Okay.
So that could be, you know, wild people, wild cars cruising around. Just everybody just Be
aware of your surroundings.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Okay. Good to know.
Don't be super drunk taking your kids out trick-or-treat.
Okay, that's just a general rule. General rule of thumb. Okay, and don't be scared, right? Because I feel
like a lot
of what we talked about was could spiral someone into the scary rabbit hole. And then I think that you've got to be really responsible for your energy, too.
Well, yeah, and like I said, mental health is a real thing.
Yeah.
So be on top of your vitamins, drink a lot of water, eat good food, and, like, if you do feel yourself taking a snarly turn, like, whoa, this is too much for me to handle alone, call your therapist.
Yeah, call your therapist, call your friends, call the people who truly show up to support
you. Truly show up.
And can
see
you.
Not somebody that could potentially be another trigger.
Yes, which is sometimes your family.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Carly, for this. This was very enlightening, and I feel like I'm starting to sort of kind of understand astrology. So,
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us and making it this far into the astrology report for this Halloween season. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for listening. Again, go find Carly on the Daily and astroalignment.com. And we'll see you next time. Happy Halloween.